Thank you, and thank all of you for being here tonight. I see that you're not interested in the Super Bowl. And you know what? I don't really think God is. Now, if it were the Cowboys in Houston, there may have been a different story. But anyway, that's not the case. And so anyway, we really appreciate your making a special effort to be here tonight. You know, just this last week, Jeremy with Advanced, one of our members here, Jeremy Gibson, one who is employed by Advanced Security System, as many of them all over town, had to install a new alarm system for us here at Crockett Road. The old system had actually malfunctioned. There was a diode or something of that nature that went out, and the manufacturer actually went out of business, and so there was no way that we could resolve the issue short of putting in a new security system. And so when you actually came in the back door tonight, you probably heard it say, office door open. And but anyway, hopefully we can resolve that where that doesn't go off all the time. But Jeremy said it was possible to do that without really making issues with the alarm system itself. But, you know, alarm systems are good in a lot of ways. And I'll get it off there. I know it's probably driving you crazy. But I would want to tell you tonight that when we leave the building, the alarm system will be on. And not only do we have a visual alarm system with Arlo, but we also have an audio that goes to the police station and calls two or three of us here to alert us that the alarm system is on. I wanted to make this comment also about the manufacturer going out of business. I can tell you that Jesus is an alarmist and that his system will never malfunction. It won't. It will always work. Did you know that most people do not like alarms? I don't care who we are, most people don't. Most people react in different ways. I hope that's not the way that you react in the morning, nor do you do this. I hope you don't anyway. And but there are a lot of reactions that people have. Sometimes you want to take a hammer and beat that clock to get it to go off. You know, I get up real early every morning. Audrey gets up about 7 o'clock, and she has an alarm that goes off, and I'm just getting ready to leave the house. It drives me crazy. Sometimes she'll wake up and hear it, and sometimes not, and I have to go in and push that little button to get it to go off. I want to take a hammer to it. Well, Jesus really was an alarmist. Now, most people think if you say someone is an alarmist, that that's a bad thing. It really isn't a bad thing when you understand who an alarmist is. An alarmist is one who warns you. He alarms you to things that might happen or things that could happen. When you read the words of Jesus Christ, you couldn't walk away without thinking that Jesus is truly an alarmist. For he warns us many, many times throughout the gospel to get right with God. And that's what the Holy Bible is all about. But in contrast to the closed door under alarm is Jesus, who is the door. You know, there were many analogies that were used to address who Christ really was. We did a study on that a few years ago. He was the light of the world. You know, he is many, many things. The water of life, the bread of life. I mean, many, many things. But Jesus says, I am the door. And when we open the door to Jesus, God turns our problems into panaceas. Now, I don't know if you know what a panacea is. I just defined it up here for you. It's a remedy for all diseases or illnesses. It's an answer or solution for all the problems and difficulties of life. And I believe that our Lord can handle anything that comes down the pike. Jesus said, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Remember, I told you this morning back in the days of Noah when Noah built that ark and Noah had warned the people. Noah was an alarmist. I'm an alarmist. I'm telling you what could happen and what will happen. And the Bible says that after they all went into the ark, that God shut the door. It was a door that no man could open. Oh, they cried about it when it started raining and the flood water began to rise. But in Revelation 3 and verse 8, he says, I've set before you an open door that no one can shut. Jesus is saying unto us, open the door to me as I have opened myself for you, and that he has done. The Bible says of him in John 1 and verse 4, that in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. God closes doors that no man can open, but he also opens doors that no man can close. That goes to tell you that sometimes in life, when we feel like that there's nothing that even God can do, that we have failed to rationalize in that way. Jesus said one time that with mankind, not everything is possible, but he says, but with God, all things are possible. And so he has the solution to every one of our dilemmas. And as I said, for all of our problems, he presents a panacea. He does. Now, behold, I have put before you that open door. God's door is open. He has an open door policy, by the way. And anyone who wants to come to him can do so. In John 6, he says, I want them to come to me that I may give them life. And yet so few walk through that door of salvation. And when a door closes in our life, God opens many to his children. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes we pray about certain things in life that, that it may work out to our advantage. And we pray that God would open the door. But sometimes God closes the door. But I have also observed and learned that when he closes the door, many, many times he opens additional doors for you and for me. You see, the Jesus alarm system reminds us of some things that we need to know. And when we face dilemmas in life, he says that there are six things that you and I need to know. First of all, he teaches us that we should let the focal point of our confession be the thing that we deal with, not our oppression. But instead of thinking about our confession that we are children of God or children of the Most High God, we start wallowing in self-pity about our oppression. But God, as I said, has an open door policy, and God will mark the way. He will. Joseph as a slave. Have you ever thought about his story over in the book of Genesis when he was imprisoned for something he didn't do? And, you look at that man and you say, well, I just don't know how he put up with that. And, quite often because of DNA, we hear on the news a lot of times about people that have served, I saw one the other day, a man had served 37 years in the penitentiary, but asked for a DNA test that proved him innocent. After 37 years of his life, think about it. But how would we react as a slave? How would we have reacted? Would we react like Joseph did? Joseph didn't rebel. He had the attitude of Christ, even when he was done wrong by his brothers and his sisters. You know what? I can tell you that he still did the right thing. The Bible, in the book of Psalms 46 and verse 1, says that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Think about that. A very present help in trouble. You know, we always talk about, in retrospect, how God helped us through this particular crisis. But actually, David is saying he's here right now. It's kind of like Paul when he says, I'm crucified with Christ. He says, I am crucified. Not I was crucified when I became a Christian, but I am crucified. He said, I die daily. And when you go back and look at the words of King David, then you understand really what David meant. In the book of Philippians 4 and verse 13, instead of focusing on our oppression, but focusing on our confession, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he does. And in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, Paul speaking to this young minister, he warns him. Paul was an alarmist also. He worked for heaven's alarm system. And he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. And then in Romans 8 and verse 18, the suffering, he is reminding the Roman Christians, when he says the sufferings of this life are not to be compared to the glory that God shall reveal in us. Isn't that amazing? Whatever you have to go through in this life, I mean, God warns us and we do it, and we have to go through a lot of things in this life, but think about it. All that we have to go through does not compare to the glory that God is going to bring upon us, that he shall reveal unto you and to me. We must strive for excellence. Secondly, not excuses. You know, people in life, when they don't want to do something, always make excuses. We actually say when other people do that, it's excuses. But when we make an excuse, we call it what? Anybody know? Reasons. We say, I had a legitimate reason, but do we really? Are we offering excuses or are we performing for excellence? In the third chapter of Philippians, verse 13, Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are before, he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul was suffering the loss of everything that he may win Christ, he says in the next verse. When we think about our oppression, there are all kinds of things that come to our mind. As I mentioned this morning, sometimes we like to get on a pity party and we labor that thing. In the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, the Bible says when certain men and women had been invited to the supper of the Lord, they all with one consent began to make excuses. Can't you just see that? I mean, it wasn't that one decided to make an excuse or one made one over here, but they all got together in a conclave of people, and they were saying, you know, I'll use this as an excuse. I'll use this as an excuse, and you can use this one, and there's somebody else will have another one over there. That they, with one consent, began to make excuses why they could not attend the supper of God. If it is important to you, you will find a way, and if it is not, you will find an excuse. I've heard all the stories, I guess, when people come to church, Dwayne, or maybe when they don't show up. I had a headache. You go to work the next day with a headache? Yeah. Were you tired? Yeah, I was tired, just couldn't come to church. Did you go to work the next day? Yeah, I went to work the next day. You see, we got all kind of excuses. God's heard them all. You couldn't pull something on him that he has not heard. Too tired, too busy, too weak. Just all kinds of excuses. And the driven, listen, make it happen. Everyone else makes excuses. We have to be a part of the driven, folks. But then number three, one of the things I think that God wants us to know about the alarm system and about the open door is shift your eyes from all the wrong things done to you and focus on what God wants our lives to be. You know what? People will never measure up. We won't. As a young preacher, I used to think, boy, when I came to Crockett Road, everybody's going to like me. Everybody's just going to be happy and thrilled to death that I came. And you know what? I found out that was not true. And through the years, I found out that was not true. But what I have discovered is you just don't know me. Now, we have to shift our eyes away from all the wrong that's been done to us and start thinking about all the good things that have been accomplished through us and how God wants us to live our lives. You know, when you stack your life up against Jesus, how he was spat upon, crown of thorns placed on his head, nails driven through his hands and his feet, belittled, called a blasphemer, scourged, open wounds on his back because he claimed to be of God. I want to make sure that my eyes are always lifted up toward God and what he wants me to be. Isn't that what David said in Psalms 121? When he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord that made the heaven and the earth. And he will not suffer my foot to be moved. For he, the keeper of Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. And the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. David was reasonably sure that God would do what he promised he would do, and that he lifted his eyes toward God. In the book of Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, the Bible says that the way of man is not in himself. So for all of us who think we could get vengeance and all this stuff that we're going to do for someone that offended us in some way or another, back up. The Bible says that when he reviled not again. And the good steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. And they are. That's what the Word of God says. And only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. But number four. We must strive for purity rather than power. You know, a lot of people in this world want power. You listen to them talk. They want power more than anything else. And it's certainly not purity. We live in an impure, ungodly world, do we not? And by the way, thank you for your prayer a minute ago, Bill. Appreciate what you said as you talked to the Father and led us in that petition before God. The Bible in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22 says that we are to keep ourselves pure in the sight of God. We sing that old song, don't we? Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. That's the way that we ought to live our lives, shouldn't it? There should be a greater quest to have a pure life or a pure heart than it is to have a lot of power. For pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, James 1:26-27, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself purity, unspotted from the world. And then the admonition of 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another. Notice what he says, and he uses that word again, with a pure heart fervently. In 2 Timothy 2:22, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. And then he says, finally, brethren, finally, whatever things are true and whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, and if there be any virtue, and that word virtue means goodness, if there be any goodness or virtue, he says, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and you have seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I like 1 John 3 and verse 3. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture tonight, but that's what we're here for, isn't it? To learn the Word of God. And every man that hath this hope in him, that is in Christ, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Number five, quickly, we must seek victory over our personal vindication. You know, many of us seek victory, but we seek personal vindication as well, do we not? God turns our dilemmas into opportunities. We are not promised that we will ever understand what God is doing in our lives. We are just told to trust God and have faith. I remember years ago, you know, one of Bill Clinton's come-ons when he was running for office was, trust me. Y'all remember that? Trust me. I've learned you don't trust any politician. I don't care who he is. You trust God, Proverbs 3 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all want to be victors, don't we? We don't want to be a victim. In 1 John 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and the victory that overcometh the world is even our faith. Even our faith. God said, vengeance is mine. Let me handle it. Let me take it. You know what? God's in a position to take care of anything that you're trying to vindicate yourself of. Let God handle it. He will. And we must seek to have the attitude of Christ in all things. For when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself to him that is faithful. Last of all, we must seek reconciliation, not revenge. Not revenge. Turn whatever grievance you have over to our Lord God. For Romans 12 and 9, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. And if you really have the Spirit of God, that's what you will do. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. I can say it in a shorter way that is said in the King James Version, quench not the Spirit of God. Hebrews 10 and verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. That's why I tell people, you know, a lot of people get by with a lot of things in life, but there's a higher judge than our DOJ, than our justice system, which in a lot of cases has been corrupt. It has. And in Jude 1 and verse 7, they will suffer eternal fire, so God says. And Jesus is coming again someday. And it will be too late for those who have refused to walk through the door and to respond to his alarm system. You know what preachers are? Preachers are just alarmists. I'm not talking about false alarms. We got some of those too. But I'm talking about alarmists. God told Ezekiel, I want you to warn the people, and it will determine whether or not I hold them accountable based upon your blood or theirs. If you warn the people and they don't respond, then I will hold them accountable. But if you don't warn the people, then I will hold you accountable. Their blood will be upon you. That's why I'm not afraid to talk to anybody about Jesus. I talk about him everywhere I go. You know, if you really love somebody, that's who you talk about, isn't it? In the days of Noah and Genesis 5 and 6, God finally shut that door to those who rejected him, and it was too late to enter. Too late. Jesus said, I am the door, and he is still the door. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. I like Paul's words in the book of 1 Corinthians 16:9. He says, for a great door of effectual opportunity has been opened unto me. Jesus gave the Great Commission. That was the alarm system going off. And you're hearing it tonight, by the way. If you're not a Christian, the alarm is on. And what we do will determine where we spend eternity. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. The question tonight is, are you listening to the alarm? And are you ready to walk through God's open door? I'll say it again. Are you ready to walk through God's open door? I hope you are tonight. We're going to sing a song that Dwayne has selected, and if perchance you need to recommit your life to Christ tonight in obedience to his gospel, would you come as we stand and as we sing?